Today on the Business Spotlight, I've got Javier Dominguez from TWEFDA. So we might as well start, Javier, by explaining to us what TWEFDA is and what you do.
Well, yeah, thank you very much, Brenda, for this time. Well, TWEFDA stands for Tidal and Wave Energy from Decommissionable Assets. So this is a company that is bringing an energy device that brings both generation and storage in one single device, but with one single machine as well. So it's not two machines, each of them doing one of the functionalities. So it is done with one single machine.
Okay, so who are your customers?
Well, my customers are precisely what we could think is our competence, because our competitors, sorry, because we set ourselves as a technology company, so we are developing technology that will then be licensed to other wave developers and other storage developers. So in a sense, it's a kind of mindset speaking about collaboration instead of competition, which is, I think, is something vital that the entire market should go through.
Fantastic. So how long have you been in business, Javier?
Well, I was in business before, but TWEFDA was born in 2018, January 2018, and the first NDA was signed in 2016, so it's quite a long while since we first kicked off. So, yeah.
So tell us about the history then. So you were in business before, so you're a serial entrepreneur. What was your previous business, and how did you start this? Tell us about the journey then, the long journey to TWEFDA.
Well, you know, I've been in business a few times. I've been in business was a company installing electricity in hotels and other big installations. Then when I came here to the UK, that was back in Spain. But when I came here to the UK, I did a shop in King Street. It was called Wayslet. And then, TWEFDA was born, as I said, in 2018. So that, you know, we've done a few things to get to where we are right now. A couple of accelerators with Grey Matters, with RGU accelerator, and then we did the Scotland Unlocking Ambition program. So we've been three kind of accelerators so far, and just now being investable and starting with the process of raising funds for pre-seed funding.
Okay, so it's still a relatively early stage for you?
Well, it's not an early stage, and I will say why. Because, you know, our development is huge. So if I wanted to speak about the TRL for the overall process, we will stand on TRL 2. So you will say, how are you investable if you are in TRL 2? And the key point for that is that once our technologies are proven, they can be implemented in wave developers that are at a much higher TRL. And therefore, that makes us commercial in the short term. So that's why we are pursuing that particular pathway.
Okay, yeah. I understand. So what have been the challenges that you've faced then since 2018 or even 2016? What have the challenges that have brought you to here?
Yeah, well, I don't think they are any different of any other developers. You know, at the beginning, it's very, very hard to go forward because you need to basically swing against the current, and it's been a challenging time, as you may guess, but when you look at other developers that have done that pathway, before, I realized that is, you know, is the normal pathway to success. So just highlighting one thing that I want to make the most of that particular question, because apparently in the US it's much quicker to go to market, and that should be, you know, a wake up call for investors to be, I don't know, more proactive and try to spend the time to understand the businesses. But sometimes we don't speak the same language, as you know, and it's quite tricky, but, you know, just losing a great opportunity because of the small resources of the startup is something that we can't afford, especially in a moment where we don't have more time, you know, to react to this climate change.
So what you're saying is that if you're a startup trying to develop a technology here in the UK, and there's another one in competition with you in the US, that they will get there faster and you'll lose out on the opportunity.
Well, for sure, yes. Oh. Yes. Well, so that's my impression.
And why is that? Why is that?
Well, it can be backed up. You know, we've got something, the company called Hydrowind. They've been in the market 2 or 3 years, and they are at TRL 5. And then I started in 2018, that was 5 years ago. I'm sure I've been more proactive than them by far, but I am at TRL 2. So that's a way of putting things into context, I believe. You know, it can be, obviously you can argue that and say, well, probably you didn't do all that particular company did, but I've got a board of directors already, and I've got a business plan, I've got a pitch deck, I've got all the tools. And in spite of the fact that I am starting to raise funds, the career so far has been very hard because there was not sufficient support from the government. I'm very thankful about everything that has been given, and probably in other countries we are way below, you know, behind this particular process. So I thank a lot what has been done, but it's probably not too much, especially considering that we are in a very challenging time. That's my impression.
No, it's definitely a challenge. So support from governments, funding is a challenge. What about people? What about talent? That, you know, there's a lot of talk at the moment about the shortage of talent in Aberdeen and in the UK. So have you found that to be an issue as well?
Well, no, I actually don't find that as an issue. What I think is something for the industry to understand, probably I need to understand that, but, you know, we are all unique. You are not more than me, and I am not more than you. We are all unique in ourselves. It's just understanding that you can't control everything that I do, and I can't control everything that you do. So it's a communication problem, probably more than a lack of talent. I believe that people are extremely powerful. And when I say people, I mean people. There is no constraint whatsoever unless you've got a big disability. And it has to be a mental, obviously, a mental disability that does not allow you to perform on an acceptable basis. Let's try to be very careful with the words. But, you know, the thing is that we all have talent. We all have many, many opportunities and many skills that can be implemented in the company. It's more the company leaders that are not good leaders. I believe I did an executive diploma in leading with motivational intelligence, and I learned a lot about that. And, you know, I think is something very important to consider. Communication is not just for the startup to communicate with the investors is also something that we do in our daily basis with all our peers, colleagues, and you know, people around you. So I think that's what is probably missing, I think.
So the people are there and they have the capability if it can be drawn out of them by the right leadership. Is that what you're saying?
Probably, because it's not that the skills are there. Probably they are not there, but they can't be there because every company, again, is unique. It has its own culture. What we need to do is to allow that space to thrive. I mean, yeah. If I've got an employee and they do something that is not aligned, it's not good or bad, it's not aligned with what I think, I've got many ways to proceed. You know, I can say, well, you're fired, in which case I am fired because it's me, you know, doing things wrong. It's not him or her. They've done their work as they thought it was good.
I like it. I like it. It's who's taking ownership.
Well, it's the way it is.
Ultimately, you know, responsible.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, we learned in that particular course that whatever happens in an organization is always the leader's fault. It's because of what they did or because of what they didn't do. But it's always their fault. So it's never being an employee accountable of anything they've done. They've done things probably with their soul, trying to do things well, as we all want to do. You know, you don't want to do your work badly. You want to do it well. You do what you can, but you know, it's not that you do well or bad, and it's a poor assessment to say good or bad. Is a very bad categorization of things, in my view.
No, I agree. That's yes, a great answer. So, who's been the biggest supporters for you in your business over the last 5 years, then, Javier?
Well, precisely people, because you know I've got a board with three more directors and a business advisor. And they've been pushing, you know, they took the time to understand the business. And that's something that I want to make a call to action here, because it's just people don't take the time. You know, investors want to hear about 2-3 minutes the business. And that makes me not to be prepared to be investable, precisely because if you don't love my business, I don't love you. I mean, it is the way it is. You know, they are saying, no, I just want a return. I can understand that. As an investor, you need to want a return. But if you don't understand the business, if you don't try to get to grips to the core of the thing, I can probably think that the money that you're going to get with my business is then going to go for missiles to exploit Russia or whatever. And I don't want to think that, because you know, you need to have a purpose in life. Otherwise, you are not my partner. And people don't take the time to understand the business, which is something that I am missing big time. You know, if I knew a particular investor that was perfectly aligned with what I think, I will be more than happy to have a chat with them, but not with whoever. That's probably making me lose a little bit of time, but that's the way I work.
But it's living by your values, isn't it?
Well, if we lose our values, what else is left? You know, I think what is creating the world that we are perceiving today is precisely not to have a well-aligned values. So it is a nonsense that a company like a charity, like a community center or something, that are looking after the people, they struggle to survive. And then an oil and gas company who is literally, sorry about this, but they are destroying the world by taking actions that are clearly not in the past. In the past, it's all right. We probably didn't have all the information, probably. But today we know that what they are doing is not good, and they go for it, and it's something that should change because it's taking us nowhere. There is a categorization of people, planet, and profit, and planet should go first by far, then people, and as a result of dealing with those two very well, we get a profit. But it's completely the opposite that is happening today. Profit is the first P, and then it's profit, and the third one is profit. We don't care about the planet, and we don't care about the people. And what we are pursuing, you know, is the planet is for our children, is for other generations to come, and it's not just for them. We also have spiders and flies and many other, you know, ecosystems in our nature, and we don't care about that. And we are part of a chain. We can't invent a way of living beyond nature. Nature has taken this very seriously through many, many years. So we don't have the power to reinvent nature. I'm sorry.
No, it's great to hear you getting so passionate about something that you believe in. And I love to talk to people who have got a business that, you know, that because a business has got much more momentum and can make a bigger change than just an individual. So it's great to hear that coming from you, the emotion that comes with it. Just going back to the more business side than the emotional side, although both are connected. What would you say to someone who's thinking of going into business at the moment?
Well, I would say that it's hard, but extremely rewarding, especially if you're not in a hurry, if you think that what you're bringing is special and it should be done, you know, just trying to get money again is again destroying everything. Is, you know, the chain should be thought by planet, people, and then profit. And if we put another order to our values, probably is not going to work properly. At least it will not work properly globally. I mean, values needs to be aligned with what you do, and you need to have a purpose in life, even if the purpose is killing elephants, I don't know, but you know that purpose needs to be very, very clear, and it shouldn't be killing elephants, but you know the thing is that you know what you're doing. What I would say is just that it's worth investigating how to collaborate. It's just changing the model from going against others, competing with others, not really. You know, why don't you look for a gap in that particular company that you can fill in and be a company? I want to work with companies even more than with employees because it's much easier to speak to them. I want this done, it will be done. I don't care if they are ill or they are not, or how they feel. They will accomplish the challenge by delivering it in time. So that's extremely interesting. It's not, you know, employees are welcome and everything is welcome, but you know, the key point here is that instead of trying to compete and look for many other actors that are doing exactly what you are doing, why not joining them? Why not speaking to them and say, well, I can deliver this piece of work. Would you be interested? You know, I think that model based in collaboration is much more powerful than one based in competition, for sure.
I love that. But it's one of the values of Action Coach, where, you know, we talk about cooperation, not competition, cooperation, cooperation. Yeah, we're all many Many are more powerful than one. So
absolutely. If we all row in the same direction, that's true.
What's the best advice you would give to an 18-year-old Javier if you could go back?
Well, the best piece of advice would be compare yourself with yourself in a few years. Don't measure yourself trying to put beside others because they are older or they got a different experience or whatever. And, you know, many times what happens with young people is that they feel not that powerful because they are so ambitious that they measure themselves with other people that they are not at the same height. You know, they've got passion, they've got energy, they've got many things that probably I don't have that much left, but I'm old and I'm a senior engineer. I've been in the industry for many, many years. So you can't behave as myself by being an 18-year-old. It's so ambitious. Compare yourself with 15 years, in 15 years' time or in a year time, and say, have I improved? Am I better than I was a year before? That's the right comparison. But yeah, yes, taking that particular thing, I think, is important.
That's a message to anyone, whether you're 18 years old or 48 years old. I love
exactly.
It.
Thank you.
What will the next 5 years bring for you and your business?
Well, hopefully a lot, because we are bringing a business that is unique and is in a huge space, because energy is a huge space. And something we do is just to do what the grid requires at any time. And this is not done by any energy device in the market to date. Because even if you've got the generation and storage capabilities in two machines with one single frame, you're hurting the grid at any time, because probably generation is required, but consumption is not. So if you are consuming and at the same time you are producing, you're helping the grid on one side, but on the other hand, you are not. And what our device does is to adapt to what the grid requires. And this is absolutely unique because it's done with one single machine. So the machine can operate as a generator and can operate as a storage, but it doesn't do the two things simultaneously, which means that if what the grid requires is generation, we will provide generation. If what the grid requires is storage, we will provide the storage. And that's something that there is no other parallelism with any other machine in the market. So we are bringing a unique value proposition that is very interesting, not just for me, but probably for you, because we all pay for the efficiencies and inefficiencies of the grid. So when something is hurting the grid, is harming the grid, you pay for it. So it's also your business. yeah,
so there's some great opportunities for you. Yeah,
there are, for sure. Yes,
Javier, I could listen to you talking all day. I'm sorry that we're running out of time, but thank you very much for being on the Business Spotlight.
Well, thank you very much to you for inviting me. Thanks a lot.